Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the telephone conference of Gary Weber. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Claudia Kellert, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. A very warm welcome to our today's conference call. Today we want to give you some more details about the financials, but also about the adjustments we started regarding our pre-order and merchandise management processes. On the part of Gary Weber, the well-known team, Dr. David Frink, our CFO, Jörg Stüber, our Head of Finance, and the IR team attend the call. You will find the presentation of our today's call under the web link we sent to you with the invitation. If you are not able to open the web link, please call the IR team after the call or take a look to our webpage. Now I hand over to Dr. David Frink.
Yeah, thank you, Claudia. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Before I start to give you an overview about the aspects and operational changes that marked the financials in the first 9 months, I want to point out that our Fit for Growth program is full on track. To sum it up, we use the transformation years to revise and, if necessary, adapt all our processes to prepare GeoWeber for the future. But coming back to the financials of the first 9 months of our fiscal. As you know, the first half of the financial year 2016-17 was marked by changes to Hallhuber's merchandise management strategy. To avoid excess inventories and improve the gross profit margin, about 25% less merchandise was supplied to the Hallhuber POS during the first 6 months of the financial year. While this sent like-for-like revenues falling, it also led to an increase in the gross margin from 60.6% to 63.3%. Now, in accordance with the defined merchandise management strategy, inventories were slowly increased starting May 2017 until they reached the prior year level in July 2017. Although no positive like-for-like revenue growth was achieved in the third quarter due to the weak market environment, Hallhuber's gross margin improved notably, climbing from 62.9% to now 65.6% on a quarterly basis. We see this as a great success, and we are confident to see an even better results in Q4 as the new merchandise management strategy will be fully implemented in the fourth quarter. Following the successful optimization of Hallhuber's merchandise management, we began to adjust the order and merchandise management structures of the GeoWeber core segment. To support the ongoing vertical integration of the GeoWeber group and to respond to the changing market situation, we have begun to adjust the ordering system and the delivery cycles of the Typhoon and Zamun brands. While in the past, about 80 to 85% of the revenues with a wholesale customer was ordered at the pre-order, which means about 3 to 4 months prior to the start of the season and the delivery, our medium-term objective is to reduce the pre-order portion to below 40%. The remaining sales volume is composed of capsule collections during the season, recurring seasonal bestsellers, as well as accessories and lifestyle products. The aim of this approach is to improve merchandise management during the season, to avoid inventories, and to optimize the pricing policy. We began to introduce the new order and merchandise management system together with the current autumn-winter collection. Consequently, inventory changes of Q3 2016-17 are not readily comparable with the previous year's Q3 inventories. In the past, the third quarter was typically characterized by a strong increase in inventories. The ordered winter merchandise was produced in the third quarter and led to increased inventories prior to delivery in the fourth quarter. Against the background of the reduced pre-orders, inventories increased far less strongly in the third quarter of the current financial year. As a result of this technical financial effect, the gross margin of the GeoWeber core segment declined compared to the previous year, from 64.5% to 60.3% as budgeted. In the third quarter of the current financial year, consolidated sales of the J.O. Weber Group amounted to €192.3 million. The moderate decline by 1.3% is exclusively attributable to the drop in J.O. Weber core revenues by 5.5% to now €144.4 million. As you know, this reduction results primarily from the closure of 128 J.O. Weber stores in the context of the Fit for Growth realignment program. Hallhuber sales in Q3 increased by 13.9% to now €47.8 million, which means Hallhuber is back on the growth path. At the nine-month stage, consolidated sales revenues of the J.O. Weber Group totaled €620.1 million, down 2.9% on the previous year. Between the launch of the Fit for Growth program at the beginning of the financial year 2015-16 and end of July 2017, 128 stores and points of sale of the J.O. Weber core brands were closed. The resulting shortfall of revenues and the drop in like-for-like revenues sent J.O. Weber's core retail revenues falling from €313.5 million to €291.8 million after 9 months. Like-for-like retail revenues declined by 3.1% between May and July 2017. During the same period, the German fashion retail sector recorded a drop in revenues of approximately minus 5.5% compared to the same period of the previous year. This means that the J.O. Weber core retail segment outperformed the industry as a whole and continued its recovery. At the nine-month stage, sales of the core wholesale segment declined year-on-year from €191.4 million to now €187.5 million. This represents a decline by 2%, which is more or less unchanged from the 2.1% decline in the first half of 2016-17. This means that wholesale revenues were better than expected. We had projected a decline in wholesale revenues in the medium single-digit percentage range for the total financial year 2016-17. This trend shows that our strategy of modernizing the J.O. Weber brand is paying off, and that the adjustments made to the collections are very well received by our wholesale partners, especially for Typhoon and Samun, which will generate a plus for the whole year. After 9 months, Hallhuber sales stood at €140.8 million, up 5.3% on the same period of the previous year. Most of this growth is attributable to the newly opened stores and shop-in-shops. Hallhuber's like-for-like revenues showed an upward trend in the third quarter. While they were still down by 7.6% on the previous year, the decline in the third quarter was much lower than in Q1 and Q2. As I said, Hallhuber's like-for-like revenues were below average in the first half of the financial year due to a change in merchandise management during this period. As we already said earlier this year, online business remains in the focus of the J.O. Weber Group. The group's total online revenues amounted to €37.1 million, which represents a 16.6% increase on the previous year. The success of the Fit for Growth program was again very apparent in the first 9 months of the current financial year. After 9 months, the group's personal expenses declined from €147.7 million to €143.3 million. That's a minus of €4.4 million. The core segment's personal expenses dropped by as much as €8.1 million, and Hallhuber's personal expenses increased by €3.7 million as a result of the expansion. The situation is similar for the group's other operating expenses, which were reduced by €19.1 million to €200.5 million. The core segment's other operating expenses declined from €167.2 million to €142.9 million, while Hallhuber's other operating expenses increased by €5.2 million to €57.6 million, also as a result of the ongoing expansion. The Fit for Growth realignment program was aimed, among other things, to reduce the personal and operating expenses by between €20 and €25 million. This target was almost reached at the end of the third quarter of the current financial year. As I pointed out at the beginning of my presentation, in the first 9 months of the current financial year, J.O. Weber core segment's gross margin declined notably. This decline is attributable to several factors. First, the consistent elimination of inventories, especially in the first half of the financial year. Second, a reduced inventory building Q3 due to the start of a change order and merchandise management system at Typhoon and Zamun. I explained these changes earlier in my presentation. And third, a moderate increase in the cost of materials for the autumn-winter collection due to exchange rate effects and the product mix. The above effects sent the gross margin of the Joe Weber core segment decreasing from 62.0% last year to now 58.8%. By contrast, Haluber was able to increase its gross margin from 61.3% to 64.1%. As the burden resulting from the temporary decline in gross profit margin more than offset the cost reductions, the core segment's EBITDA declined from 40.7 million euros to 35.1 million in spite of the sustained cost savings. EBIT of the core segment increased from 2.4 million to 4.4 million euros. As increased costs from the store openings resulted in higher personal and operating expenses, Haluber again posted a negative EBIT. The operating loss of 4.2 million euros was influenced by depreciation attributable to the purchase price allocation of 4.9 million euros. Adjusted for this group-related depreciation, Haluber's EBIT stood at 700,000 euros. Adjusted EBITDA amounted to 11 million euros, while Haluber's reported EBITDA totaled 6.1 million euros. As in the previous year, a negative operating result was posted for the first 9 months at group level. While we were able to slightly improve the operating loss from 7.8 million euros to 5.8 million euros, the increased costs of goods and services for the current autumn-winter collection, in conjunction with a changed merchandise management system, had an adverse impact in the third quarter, resulting again in a budgeted loss in the smallest of all quarters. The changes in the balance sheet structure were primarily driven by the following aspects. The first, the receipt of the proceeds from the sale of Hall 30 in Q1. And second, the scheduled repayment of the first tranche of the note loan, also in Q1. And third, the acquisition of the remaining 49% in our Dutch and Belgian subsidiaries. Fourth, the payments for the repurchased shares in the context of the share buyback program. And fifth, at a strong reduction in provisions compared to the prior year period. In view of the successfully implemented measures, the ongoing reorganization of the order and merchandise management, and the importance of the fourth quarter for the earnings position of the Joe Weber Group, we continue to assume that the financial targets set for the financial year 2016-17 will be reached. For the current financial year, we expect consolidated sales to be down by between 2 and 4% on the previous years. Accordingly, consolidated EBIT, means reported, are projected to come in at between 10 and 20 million euros. Yeah, so far, thank you for your attention, and I hand over to Claudia again.
Yeah, now we start with the Q&A session. The moderator of the call will give you some more technical instructions on how to use your phone and to ask questions.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Volker Bosse, Baader Bank.
Yeah, hello, Volker Bosse, Baader Bank. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I would like to start with your digitalization strategy. So on your way to become a better multi-channel retailer, what are your next steps and initiatives? What have you done in the third quarter? What is to come in the fourth quarter and for next year to get an update here? Thank you. And second question would be regarding your retail store portfolio. Could you give us a kind of indication for next year how much stores we can expect to be opened at Gary Weber and Haluber to get an idea about the pace what you have in your budget? A third question would be regarding the overstock situation in regards to inventories. So how much are you through the cleanup process, which burdened your third quarter results? So is it going to continue in the fourth quarter? To get an indication here would be helpful. And perhaps finally, an trading update in regards to your performance in August and September as of today would also be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. First of all, regarding your digitalization question or omnichannel digitalization, I would say I think what you see in the numbers is an increase in the turnover. Compared with a high margin, yeah. So our first step this year was to relaunch our brand shops. So we separated brand shops. We now have an online shop for Typhoon, one for Zamun, and one for J. Weber. Before the relaunch, that was all together. And if you look at the numbers, I think it paid out. And fortunately, we didn't have problems at the time that we went live with the new shops. It's always a little bit risky to do that in a running system, but it worked out perfect and fine. So for this year, we said, okay, we want to go up to 50 million euros online sales, coming in 40 million. And we said, okay, we want to reach 100 million euros turnover in 2020. And if you look at the numbers at the moment, we're totally on track. And we're doing a lot of things in the background. Means we set up a huge project. I think I already reported that in former calls. Regarding the backbone of our e-commerce, we call it 2020 e-commerce 2020. It's not a fun name, but it hits it. Nevertheless, we want to build up a group-wide infrastructure. 2020 is the target of the 100 million. That's why the name. For sure, we will go live former. And these are the things we're working on. What we try to do is to have the basics as fast as possible live with the new system. And the basics for me are return in the stores means click and collect, click and reserve, and so on. So things we are already doing, but we want to have it for the whole group. Yeah, and this is done in the background. And the other thing is a digitalization project in-house where we're working on, and I think we will come up with the annual report, or maybe a little bit earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that's going on. Regarding the retail store portfolio, you ask about the next year. So next year, one thing is we still have around 25 stores on our watch list regarding J. Weber. So there we have to decide what to do with them. This one thing. The other thing is we will have a handful of openings of J. Weber next year to open new stores. And for Haluber, we have the main focus on concession, means at wholesale department stores, coming from risk perspective, coming from CapEx perspective, and so on. So you will see, 10 Haluber stores, standalone stores, and roughly 30 concession spaces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What we also have is, but that's wholesale, not retail, you will see 35 on top new franchise stores. So net 35 new franchise stores in comparison to this year. Especially a lot of them are in Russia with a good partner, roughly 20 of them, and the rest is a little bit spread. So 35 on top of the usual franchise stores. Mm-hmm. at
Gary Weber. Olga Rivera's source, right? The 35.
Olga Rivera, yeah, that's right.
Sure.
Then you asked about the cleanup process regarding the stocks. If I look at the stock quality, not quantity, quality, I think we are extremely on a good track, I have to say. It's combined with your question regarding the trading update, so that you just have a clue. We doubled the gross margin in our outlets, in Q4. And this comes from the fact that we don't have to sell overstocks with extremely rebates. We're bringing in special makeups, we're bringing in fresher articles and so on. And maybe this is a sign or an answer to your question. In Q4, we're almost done, and we will be for sure done till end of this fiscal year. Yeah.
Okay.
So no huge threats in sight.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Good. And trading update.
Trading update, sorry. Yeah. I would be lying if we would not be satisfied with September, I have to say.
Okay.
But that's easy. Huh? Last year we had like 30 degrees especially in Central Europe and in Germany. And now this is autumn winter clothes weather, I have to
that
say.
Helps. Yep.
So, and we're really satisfied with that, especially at Haluber. The merchandise management totally pays out, and I really mean it, what I said in my presentation. So it really works out. If it goes on and it will not change to 30 degrees again, we will have a nice Q4.
Okay, good indication. Thank you very much, and looking forward to see you next week in Munich. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mark Josephson at Equinet Bank.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I can follow up to your answer to Volker's question there with respect to the change in inventory. So if I look at the P&L, there's a 10 million drop in Q3 year over year. How much of that was due to the shift in the order policy at the core or at Typhoon and Samoon? And to get a better idea of the underlying situation, does this mean a build in inventory in Q4, if you can just elaborate a bit on that? Then secondly, with respect to the Fit for Growth program, at the end of last year, the start of this year, I think you had 31 million in terms of costs last year, and you indicated that there probably would be another 6 million or so of costs in the current year. I think at H1 we had maybe 1 million or so. Were there any additional costs in Q3, and are you still looking to spend money or invest in the Fit for Growth program in Q4? And still with the Fit for Growth program, so okay, the 23.5 savings that you highlight on those slides shows that you're already up to speed with your targets at the 9-month stage. Can you bring us up to speed with your thinking in terms of the cost savings for the full year 2017, and what the delta might be next year in terms of additional savings in 2018 compared to this year? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I hope I understood your first question right. It was regarding the stock situation, especially in comparison to last year's end of July stocks.
Yeah.
So end of July last year, we had 180 million euros stocks, worth of stocks, and now we are at 168, so means 12 million less. I have to say, in fact, it's more if you put it on a like-for-like base, because we implemented, we call it depot model last year, means this is our stock at the shop-in-shop of wholesalers, and this were 700,000 pieces, or are at the moment 700,000 pieces, and last year we didn't have that. So, and if you multiply by 20 euros just as an average price, you are at 40 million on top. So that means if you put this 40 million on top of the balance sheet, the difference in the balance sheet position, you're roughly at 26 million euros stock less. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to explain, but I hope you understood what I mean.
Yeah.
And Then you ask about the extraordinary expenses for this year. Altogether, we are at the moment at 2.2 million euros for the first 9 months. But the 2.2 million euros are, you know, regarding the stock portfolio. That's what we're showing. What we're not showing is what we're investing into the brand and so on. Means we launched this If I Had to Go a campaign and so on. So I think you could double it if you look at it. But we said, okay, this campaign, for example, with If I Had to Go, it's not a one-timer. We want to go on with that, and that's why we did not show it as a cost of Fit for Growth. Yeah. So yeah. It's more an ongoing process. Here, it's just the store closure, the store closures that what we put in. We think till if you look at the end of this fiscal, this will up sum up to 4 million euros. Yeah. Just okay. The really extraordinary costs from store closures and so on.
So actually you come in under budget, because I think we were originally thinking around about 36 over a two-year period, and
yes.
31 last year, 4 this year, so
yes.
You're not going to be more than that. And
yes.
At the moment, at least, with the stores that are on watch, we're not
yes.
assuming further exceptional expenses in terms of closing them or accelerated depreciation, etc.
No, it could only be depreciation if we still would have. It depends on the store. If we would have something in the books regarding the furniture or what else, but we're not talking about big numbers. No.
Yep.
Yeah. That's nothing we would show as extraordinary costs next year. No, definitely not. This is usual portfolio optimization we're talking about now.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of the savings?
Yeah, in terms of savings, we're really quite happy that we already achieved these numbers. Like you said, for sure, we don't have a full year effect at the moment if you look at the numbers now. A lot of this cost savings just started in Q2 and so on. If you look at the cost savings that we had in the isolated Q3, yeah, I think this could be a good number to add for Q4. Yeah. So then you have the full year for this financial year. If you ask me about next year, it's at the moment we're still in the budget process for the next year. We will close it down end of this September. And if it's okay for you, I would say it in the next call or when we have finished the budget. Only to be sure to tell you not the wrong number. Yeah.
Entirely fair. Yep.
It's okay?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. The next question is from Jürgen Kolb, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, thank you. Three questions from my side. Quickly on Hallhuber again. You obviously sounded very positive, and you think with the new merchandise system you can improve your like-for-like. So shall we go so far, and do you also expect that Hallhuber in Q4 might even reach a positive like-for-like, like I think you indicated earlier in the year?
Direct answer, definitely yes.
Okay, very good. Can check that one off. Secondly, on the effects of this new merchandise order system at especially Typhoon and Samoon, maybe some additional comments as to what you expect this change in merchandising to be the case in 18, 19 and longer term. What are the real positive effects that you're expecting from these trends? And then lastly, on the CapEx, also here maybe somewhat going into the future, how you expect your CapEx level to develop, and also from that angle, plus your expectation on the operating business, where and how you expect your free cash flow to develop over the course of the next, say, 3-5 years. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, yeah, Haluba already answered. Regarding the positive effects of the merchandise management, it's pretty easy to explain. If we look at the moment at Typhoon and Samoon, we switched the system in fact starting in May this year, yeah, May June this year. And due to the new process and the new system, we were able to generate now a plus. at Typhoon and Zambun. Yeah, and in fact, we have planned originally a middle-digit negative development at that. And so we're only talking at the moment about 3 months. If you go on with that, and if we roll it out to Joe Weber, to our main turnover brand, if you would like to, there will be huge effects for us. In fact, I have to say, we are able to generate higher gross margins at Typhoon and Zambun due to this new process, and we are able to improve our stock turnover ratio, Lagerumschlagsgeschwindigkeit, dramatically. But there is a downside, I have to say. The downside is, if you look at the usual process, you sell just 85% as a pre-order, you deliver, and then you're done. If you look at the new process, you only deliver 40% as a pre-order, and the rest is in your responsibility, means you have to look at the shop-in-shops and so on. And, for example, if the weather is at 40 degrees, if you want to sell autumn-winter, you have a problem. In fact, I have to say, otherwise the wholesale partner has the problem, and for the next season he will decrease the limit. Yeah. So overall, we think it's the right way to do. And to step in and to have a much better relationship to our wholesale partners, and together to optimize the KPIs. In fact, we started with 150 Platinum Typhoon and Zambun customers first. We now rolled it out to more customers. And if it's successful, we will roll it out to Joe Weber as well.
And one quick question on that front. Would that imply that you might have to, or you might need additional factory outlet stores in order to cover the additional merchandise risk that you might have as a consequence?
No, definitely no. We had an extremely bad habit coming from the outlets over the last 2 years, especially because we had to clear our overstocks dramatically with extremely high discounts. But that wasn't a topic coming from returns. And our goal is to have one third of the quantities that we sell in the outlets coming from returns from our own stores and from the wholesale partners, one third coming from stock of the season. You know, usually you order a little bit more. It depends on the article. And one third coming from special makeups for the outlets with an extremely nice gross margin. With this mix, you're able to generate a double-digit EBIT margin in the outlets. We used to do that a few years ago, but due to the overstocks we had coming from the business, we weren't able to do that. And now we started to do that. In fact, we are delivering at the moment Typhoon and Zambun special makeups to the outlets because we don't have stock for these brands comes from the business because it really works out so good. So we are, you know, fine adjusting at the moment everything. But what we want to prevent is to have overstocks again. And for the outlets, we would just go into a higher stake of special makeups.
Understood. Mm-hmm. And the third one on the CapEx side and free cash flow maybe?
Sorry. Mm-hmm. CapEx, we think CapEx will go to 25 million roughly next year. Comes from IT investments and e-commerce investments and comes from main part from the expansion of Haluber. For Joe Weber, it's not so much. Like I said, these are only a few new stores, but the main part comes from Haluber and from IT investments into digitalization. And we think this will, for the year after, that will not be there will not be a big change. Regarding the free cash flow, maybe if it's okay for you, like I said to Mark Josephson, we're just at the moment in the fine process of the budget at the final stage. I don't want to tell you the wrong number. I could tell you in 2 weeks, but at the moment, just a few discussions with our colleagues, if it's okay for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Philipp Frey, Warburg Research.
Hello. I'm just still trying to get a bit my mind on your bit longer out
outlook and wanted to cross-check a few assumptions with you. Well, first of all, if you look at the cost side for 2018, is it fair to say that with your underlying cost savings basically through, that apart from the full-year effects of the cost savings, we shouldn't factor in a lot to happen for 2018?
No, not really. We have the logistics center, which is now fully operational, yeah, and at full efficiency. At the beginning of this fiscal, you know, we were just at the process bringing the new brands and so on into the logistics center. So the full effects of the logistics center you will see next year.
That's what I meant. The full year effects of the cost savings for the measures that you've initiated so far that probably are running at the maximum speed right now.
Yes.
That is basically the underlying assumption for 2018. Or to phrase it otherwise, is there something if you have up your sleeve that's going to be implemented in 2018 what we don't know right now?
To be honest, no. At the moment, not planned. For sure, we still have ongoing cost optimization projects and so on, but not a big thing, no.
Okay. And in terms of gross margin, I guess it would be fair to see at least two drivers to lift it up. On the one hand, the closeout sales and the high inventory level, which burned gross margin this year, and on the other hand, basically your improved merchandise management system, which probably Halu was a good indication of what the maximum margin potential is.
You're totally right. If you talk about core, if I took a look at Haluber, there it's the focus on like-for-like turnover growth next year. And if we can hold the gross margin for the next year, that's okay. You know what I mean? This is just to hold the gross margin on a higher turnover level. For Jawaba Core, you're totally right, yes.
Yeah. So in the end, the additional boost would be, if you finally manage to return to like-for-like growth on a group level, that's basically hopefully the target for next year.
You're right.
Without having specified that. I just wanted to get my thinking straight and understand that you don't give concrete numbers or at this stage, but just to be on the same page. Thanks.
Perfect.
And all the best.
Yeah, thank you. The same for you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Mark Josephson, Equinet Bank.
Yep, thank you for taking another question on my side. Can you just give us a bit of qualitative background or reaction from the trade with respect to the core Gary Weber collection? So if I exclude Taishan, Samoon, and talk about what's happening in terms of orders for Gary Weber core?
Yeah, like I already said, Typhoon and Zone are in plus. If I look at Gary Weber, we have a quite different picture. We have collection with a minus, and we have additional casual with a small plus. Altogether, it's a minus. Yeah, still. So Gary Weber brand is at the moment in line with our budget. Typhoon and Zamun is above. If I look at that, Talkabout will generate roughly a little bit more than 4 million euros this year. Have in mind we just started roughly last year at the same time with 30 shop-in-shops. So till end of this fiscal, we will have around 150 shop-in-shops. For the next year, you will have alone the full year effect from that. But on top of that, we are generating new customers. So talk about it really in line with our business plan for this brand. I'm quite satisfied with the development, and the team really did a great job, because it's not easy to have a new brand from the scratch to bring it to the market. Next year you will see a nice turnover increase for Talkabout. But nevertheless, collection is still our thing we're looking at, and we want to reach the point where we are not losing turnover anymore. as fast as possible, and that's why where my colleague Ralf Weber is focusing at the moment, who is responsible for the brand, and he tries to ring this. I think this If I Had to Go a campaign and so will help to emotionalize the brand once again and so on, but we have to see how fast we will get this point. Otherwise, I'm quite happy that Casual and Edition are positive once again, as Typhoon and as Zamu. Yeah. So collection is at the moment the thing we have to work the hardest on.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Currently, there are no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
Okay. So, no further questions. So, then I expect that we'll answer all your questions. If not, please do not hesitate to contact the investor relations team after the call. Thanks for your attendance and have a nice and not so windy day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call is being concluded. You may disconnect.